Alice and I will be sharing words of the Lord. I'm going to be sharing from the words of the prophet Isaiah from chapter 35. Attend to these words. The desert and the dry land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. They will burst into bloom and rejoice with joy and singing. They will receive the glory of Lebanon, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the Lord's glory, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and support the unsteady knees. Say to those who are panicking, be strong, don't fear. Here's your God coming with vengeance, with divine retribution. God will come to save you. Then the eyes of those who cannot see will be opened, and the ears of those who cannot hear will be cleared. Then those who cannot move will leap like a deer, and the tongue of those who cannot make a sound will sing. Water will spring up in the desert and streams in the wilderness. The burning sand will become a pool, and the thirsty ground fountains of water. The jackal's habitat, a pasture. Grass will become reeds and rushes. A highway will be there. It will be called the Holy Way. The unclean won't travel on it, but it will be for those walking on that way. Even fools won't get lost on it. No lion will be there, and no predator will go upon it. None of these will be there. Only the redeemed will walk upon it. The Lord's ransomed ones will return and enter Zion with singing, with everlasting joy upon their heads. Happiness and joy will overwhelm them. Grief and groaning will flee away.
And Mary said, I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. He bared his arm and showed his strength, scattered the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now.
Will you all pray with me? Oh, gracious and loving God, we now come to the point in our service where we are going to encounter your word. Lord God, may our hearts be opened. May our lives be transformed. May our hearts be filled. And Lord God, I just ask that you be with the words of this preacher. Not my words, but yours. Amen. So yesterday, our United Women of Faith hosted this amazing Christmas celebration. And it was a wonderful gathering. We had great people, great food, and great music. And it was, what can I say, we just had a lot of fun. Thank you, United Women of Faith. Can we give them just a round of applause for their amazing event? One of the things that we did was at the end of our time together, we were singing Christmas carols. Charlotte Yoder led in that effort, ably assisted by Isaac Lake. And what can I say? There is just something amazing when a room full of people, we were singing Christmas carols together, and there was something about just us all singing at the top of our lungs, even if we couldn't remember the second stanza of some of these songs like, I don't know, Frosty the Snowman. We still sang heartily, and it was something. You know what that something was? It was joy. And there's something about singing Christmas carols and Christmas songs together that bring us great joy, isn't it? But you know, Christmas carols and songs aren't the only song that can bring us joy, right? There's other music out there that can do so. There's a wonderful song that came to my heart this week, and it is 51 years old. And it's just a song that just spoke to me. I don't know why. Maybe you all will be able to discern why this came to my heart. I want to share it with you. And no worries, I'm not going to sing it. Instead, I will offer the verse and its chorus as a poetry reading. So are you ready? Okay. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. I never understood a single word he said, but I helped him a drink his wine, and he always had some mighty fine wine. Singing, joy to the world, all the boys and girls now. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me. A big hit for Three Dog Night in 1971, written by the son and mother team of Hoyt and May Axton. For those of you that don't know Hoyt Axton, he played the dad in the Christmas movie Gremlins. But he was a great songwriter, and I heard that Mariah Carey even put part of that song into her version of Isaac Watts's Joy to the World. Music is transformative, especially in joy. It was William Congreve who wrote in a play that music has charms to soothe the savage breast, not beast, but breast, and soften the stone and bend the gnarled oak. And it does. Music has great power that works in our lives. And especially at this time, we celebrate the joy that music brings to us, especially at this time of year. There's something about music that allows us to express joy even in the midst of suffering. In fact, the joy is so palpable, so powerful, that you would say that it is unabashed joy. Well, unabashed. What on earth does that mean? Well, let me explain. Unabashed is an adjective, and it simply means that when that adjective is attached to a word that you are expressing that word, that noun, with no embarrassment. So unabashed criticism means you're not embarrassed to give the criticism. Unabashed joy means that you are joyful without fear of what people are going to think about you. Other words that come close to meaning unabashed are brazen or cheeky or audacious. That's what unabashed is. And today we are going to be lifting up basically three songs that are filled with unabashed joy. One from a prophet, one from a young woman, and one from an 18th century minister. Unabashed joy. And we need unabashed joy in this world, don't we? Don't? Just a little while ago, we sang these words together. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. We sang those as part of Joy to the World. The third stanza of Isaac Watts' tune. You know, and here's something amazing. In a lot of our carol books and a lot of places, this verse gets left out. Did you know that? Do you know why? Because it has a curse word in it. This is a Christmas carol with a curse word in it. And you know what that curse word is? Curse. And we don't like to sing about curses at Christmas time now, do we? And so a lot of times you'll get a little booklet and it will have verses 1, 2, and 4, but you won't hear this third verse. Methinks that people who leave it out are missing the point. of what Isaac Watts is trying to communicate here. And that is the very real truth, that even in the midst of hard times, that God will come to make his blessings flow, for as the curse of sin is found, that sin that causes sins and sorrows to grow, that causes thorns to infest the ground. What he's saying is that even in the midst of the difficult times, there is joy. And the joy will go just as far as the sin, and it will take over and take away the sin. This is an awesome verse. And it's wonderful for us to take in and to consider, because it's expressing the reality that in this song, that we live in a very real world. And we are very much prisoners of sin. But the power of God's love through Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit frees us. For as the sin is found, God's love is there. And in there we can take unabashed joy. I'm going to have a lot of Bible today, folks. For the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of vindication by Zion's cause, and the streams of Eden shall be turned into pitch, and her soil into sulfur. Her land shall become burning pitch. Night and day it shall not be quenched. Its smoke shall go up forever. From generation to generation it lays waste. No one shall ever pass through it forever and ever. They shall name it no kingdom there, and all its princes shall be nothing. Thorns shall grow over its strongholds, nettles and thistles its fortresses. It shall be the haunt of jackals and the abode for ostriches. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, King Sennacherib of Assyria came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. The king of Assyria sent the Rakshika from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem with a great army, and he stood by the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field. I've just shared with you a picture of Isaiah's world from Isaiah 34 and Isaiah 36. But what's right smack in the middle of Isaiah 34 and 36? Isaiah 35, exactly. Biblical scholar Barbara Lindblad said, this scripture shouldn't even be here, because this doesn't reflect the world that Isaiah is prophesying in. This doesn't reflect the reality of the attack from the Assyrian Empire at that time. But even in the midst of war and devastation, we hear these words. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. Here is your God. You see, here's the thing about Isaiah. He wasn't naive. We heard that in 34 and 36, right? We hear that in a lot of the words of the prophet Isaiah and all the other prophets. But what we also hear in the words of the prophet, and words that aren't always spoken, are the words that are there as well. Those are words of hope. And they're words of hope that are expressed with great joy. And so here's the prophet speaking to the people of so long ago, but also speaking to us now, that even in the midst of our wars and our desolation and our anxieties and our difficult times, then we too can tap in and we can sing a song of joy. Unabashed, extravagant, audacious joy. Church that I served the shortest amount of time was Westport United Methodist Church. I only served that church for 7 months. That's kind of unusual, wouldn't you think? That's a story for another time. But what I'd like to share with you is a special program that we did down in the basement of the church. You see, twice a week we would feed homeless people there. It was about 200 people from the street, sojourners, that we would feed there. Twice a week, every week. And during one of these lunches, I was with a friend of mine. I'm calling him Zed. He's a friend of mine from the street that had a guitar with him. And we worked up a few songs. And one of them was, "You Are So Good to Me." How many are you familiar with that praise song? "You Are So Good to Me." It's a very beautiful song. It has the verse that says, or a refrain that says, "You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song, and I will sing again." It's a very mellow song. We got together to sing that song, and we asked if anybody who was eating lunch would like to join us, and up jumped Ruth. Her bald head was swathed in scarves because she was undergoing chemo. And she jumped up and she joined us in song. And you know, we couldn't just sing this song like it was written, because we were filled with joy. Even though everybody was going to go back out on the street after lunch, even though Ruth was going to have to continue her chemo treatments that were very painful, we were joined together in song. So the song became, "You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I will sing again." Yeah. And we praise God in that day. This is where Isaiah is coming from when he is preaching unabashed joy, even in the midst of the hurt and pain. Isaiah is preaching and singing a song of unabashed joy. Yesterday at our United Women of Faith Christmas gathering, Isaac Lake played one of my favorite songs, an instrumental on piano, and it's "Mary, Did You Know?" And I love the tune of that song. It's very haunting. And the lyrics invite us to reflect on Mary and her state of mind when Jesus is born. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would walk upon the water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the seas with his hand?" And it's a beautiful song that gets us to really connect with Mary as we would with any parent. And not just parents, but even those of us in a church community together with our children, as we dream of a great future for our children, but we also worry about them, right? "Mary, did you know?" One of my favorite songs. But friends, as I read about Jesus and Mary in the Gospel of Luke, I am more and more convinced that Luke would answer that question, "Mary, did you know?" with, "Yeah, she did know." Mary did know, or at least she had a clue, right? I invite you to hear these words again. These wonderful words that Mary says. She says, "I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one look at me and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth." Really, Mary? You are an unwed teenage mother. Even in the 21st century, unfortunately, that has baggage. In her time, all of her family, all of her village, I'm sure that they shunned her if they didn't just reject her outright and kicked her out of their community. Even Joseph, her man that she was promised to, we read in the first chapter of Matthew that he was going to do the right thing by divorcing her, because that's really the only thing that normal folk would do. But for an angel of God that spoke to Joseph and said, "You're going to marry Mary," the world changed. And here is Mary, filled with God's Spirit, infused with God's love, and she's singing these verses that God is great and God will change this world. And she knew at that time what was going to happen, at least a glimpse of what was going to happen through her son Jesus. He bared his arm and showed his strength, scattering the bluffing braggarts, knocking tyrants off high horses, pulling victims out of the mud, setting the starving poor down for a great banquet, leaving the callous rich outside in the cold. Just like God had done in the past, God was going to do through her son. And she sings with such great joy. Just 8 days after Jesus is born, they take Jesus to the temple by law, and Jesus is going to be circumcised, and that's when he's officially named Jesus. And while he's there, they encounter Anna and they encounter Simeon. And Simeon gives a benediction, and Simeon says, "Your son is going to be for the rising and falling of many in Israel. And Mary, a sword will pierce your soul also." Mary, did you know? Luke would say yes. And yet Mary still, with great joy, took on the calling of being Jesus' mother. Didn't abandon the Messiah, but instead raised him. Loved him, traveled with him, and was there at the foot of the cross when he died, and was there in the upper room when Jesus appeared to his followers resurrected. This is the Mary that sings with unabashed joy. It takes courage, courage and love, to sing songs of unabashed joy, especially in the midst of hurt and pain. So I ask you, what songs do you sing? Don't tell me I don't sing, Rev Kev. You sing. You sing. You express yourself. You express your heart. But is it with loathing and fear, burden of pain, or even in the midst, can you tap into the joy of our holy Lord and express unabashed joy? I challenge us all to sing songs of unabashed joy, using words if necessary, not only in this season, but forever and ever and ever, because this is how the world transforms. You see, our world needs people to sing songs of unabashed joy. They need people to express in their hearts the joy that they have. They don't say that all things are all good. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. No, you can say, you know what? Life is hard. But you know what? God is here with me. And God loves me. And God loves you. And God loves everyone. And my heart is on fire with God. We are the most fortunate people on earth. That's my challenge to us all in this season, because this season is going to be hard. So much anxiety, so much hurt, so much war, so much pain. But even in the midst, Isaiah and Mary and Isaac Watts share with us that we can express joy. From the bullfrogs and the fishes in the sea to all the boys and girls and you and me. May it be so. And all God's people said, Amen.